Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text today is from Romans 12. Let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection and outdo one another in showing honor. Dear friends of Christ, in the movie, if you've ever seen that, Godfather 2, there's a character named Michael Corleone. An Italian guy, an Italian mobster, and he, in his best Italian brogue, he said, "My father taught me many things. I'm not going to try it. My father taught me many things here. He taught me in this room. He taught me. Keep your friends close, but your enemies closer." Now, on the surface of things, that might seem like, you know, pretty good advice, especially for a mobster where enemies are concerned. Because keeping your friends close means you're keeping an eye on them. Keeping your friends close means you know what they're up to and you know what they're doing so that you can anticipate their move and maybe do a preemptive first strike if necessary. For a mobster, keeping your enemies close is a great idea. It might even save your life. And it might help you get even, get revenge. However, as followers of Jesus, we don't get even. It's not the way for the people of God. We don't get even to exact revenge. Not in our marriages, not as children to their parents. We don't hurt people and give people what they deserve. It's not how we behave. No. But we do keep our enemies close to us for another reason. You know why it's good for Christians to keep their enemies close? Why might you think? So that we can love them. We keep our enemies close. Paul encourages us in our text here to serve them, to be patient with them, to be kind to them, to be tender to them. Getting even is not the way of the Christian way of doing things. And so Paul gives us a long list of things that we are to do that's completely opposite of getting even. And he reminds us that while it's good to have friends, it's even better to have enemies. Jesus never said, "Blessed is a man who's loved by his wife, adored by his children, and admired by all." But Jesus did say, "Love your enemies, and pray for those who persecute you." You know, that's one of the more difficult tasks that Jesus gives us. He challenges the church. Not just simply love the people that are lovable, but love the people that aren't. And again, keep your enemies close so that you can practice that love. But Romans chapter 12 isn't just about our enemies. Romans chapter 12 is really talking about our life in Christ. You know, how we are to follow our Savior. We are His disciples. We are His students. And what are we supposed to do as we follow Him in His way? What does it look like? Well, last week in Romans, we read, if you remember, how we live out our lives as followers and as Christians, as lives that are holy, pleasing, and a sacrifice to God. So what does a holy, pleasing, sacrificial life look like? What does it look like? It boils down to one simple theme or one simple concept. The holy life are what the Ten Commandments are all about. And it can be summarized very simply with one word. Love. And so our theme. Love one another. Got it? Good. Amen. Well, I wish it were so simple, right? But it's not. We can hear the command simply enough, but hearing the command and doing the command, well, that's completely another different thing. And that's why Paul tells us it's our Christian duty to love those that aren't lovable. And you may deem that unlovable person to be a family member. You may deem that unlovable person to be somebody that is a member of our church, a brother or sister in Christ. And Paul tells us that it's our duty to love others. And he says, we love them. Why? Why do we love those difficult people that we find so hard to love? Why do we do it in the first place? We love, if you know your Bible verse, because he first loved us, right? That's why we love them. And God has loved you with an eternal love, and that eternal love shines through you in a way that makes you different. It's even though we don't love God the way we should. The first commandment, we tend to break that. Putting God above all things, loving God above all things, serving God above all things, even though we break his first command, all the other commandments for that matter, we're commandment breakers. God still loves you. He has mercy on you. He doesn't punish you the way your sins deserve. Our lives are motivated by the mercy of God. That's Paul's point. I'm motivated to follow Jesus. I'm motivated to obey Jesus. I'm motivated to love difficult people because God loves me. Because I'm a difficult person to love. At least from God's perspective. I may not see his perspective, but he sees it. Then he knows it. And that's Paul's point. It's refreshingly simple. The advice, love must be completely sincere. Hate what is evil. Hold on to what is good. Love one another warmly as Christians and be eager to show respect for one another. Do not be lazy. Words for our generation. Go to work, right? Serve the Lord with a heart full of devotion. Share your belongings with your needy fellow Christians and open your homes to strangers. Simple advice, short, sweet, but much easier said than done. Now, there's no mystery here. There's no surprise in any of that. What is surprising, though, is what Paul writes that goes against our very instinct. Paul talks about our enemies. Ask God to bless those who persecute you. Ask God, ask him to bless, not to curse. Don't pay people back with evil for the evil that they do to you. Focus your thoughts on the things that are considered noble. As much as it is possible, live in peace with everyone. Sometimes it's not very possible, is it? Don't take revenge. Don't get even. And then Paul quotes a word of wisdom from the book of Proverbs. If your enemies are hungry, feed them. If your enemies are thirsty, give them a drink. For by doing this, you will make them burn with shame. Short, simple, sweet. Right? Enemies are good. Why? Because they're your mission project. Those people you find difficult to love are your practice field. Give you an opportunity to show what God's mercy looks like. Gives you an opportunity for you to show what mercy looks like to those people that are difficult in your life. To provide an opportunity for you to live out your life in faithfulness. To live out your life in mercy. To live out your life in love. That you can be the reflection of the Christ who lives and dwells in you and has had mercy on you so that you can not just be a hearer of the word, but a doer of the word. Now, thanks to your enemies, you can provide food for those who wish you were starving. Thanks to your enemies, you can clothe those who wish that you were naked. And thanks to your enemies, you can offer Christ's life to those who wish that you were dead. You can defend those who attack you. You can learn the spiritual gift of patience for those who don't deserve your patience. Thanks to your enemies, you can practice. And you can practice what Christ wants us to do every day. And Paul exhorts us, you can practice overcoming evil with good. Living the Christian life boils down to this: love God, love one another. Simple, sweet, concise. God is giving you the opportunity to serve Him. God's giving you the opportunity to love Him. And how do we serve Him? How do we love Jesus? Jesus tells Him Himself, if you love me, if you say you love me, if you say you're a follower of Jesus, if you say that you believe in Jesus and walk in His ways, keep my commandments. The commandments are simple. Love. Be genuine in your love. A Christian life is a life of love. And that's why Christians, it's nice to have friends, but we keep our enemies closer. Another important aspect of living out the Christian faith and life and following in the way of our Master is, from the words of Paul, not to think of ourselves more highly than we ought. Don't get all arrogant about all this. All prideful. You know, when we start talking about how we live our life for Jesus and do you love and how we should love, it's interesting when we start talking about how God wants us to live. A lot of Christians think they do it well. They think they've got it down. They don't need to get any better. What they're doing is sufficient. And that God is proud of them. They're certainly proud of themselves. And when they hear a sermon like this, they look to the person sitting next to them and they think, this sermon's for you. You need to be listening to this sermon. And they deflect all that. And yet, what does God say? Do not think of yourself more highly than you ought. Instead, be modest in your thinking. Love others. Serve others. Be generous. Be humble. Be patient. Be kind. Serve. Simple stuff, right? And it's easy for us to get all proud about all that, thinking, Lord, I thank you that I'm not like the other sinners. I thank you that I'm not like those other people that, you know, don't go to church. I'm not a murderer. I'm not a thief. I don't steal. I don't lie. I'm a fairly basic, honest person, good person. I don't need to change much. But Paul warns us, don't think like that. And if you catch yourself thinking like that, well, think about your enemies. Think about your enemies. Think about how you deal with those people who are difficult in your life. That tells a true story. The people who have wronged you. The people who have twisted your words. The people who have hurt you. Cursed at you, the people who have stolen from you or cheated you. Think about the people you judge and you deem unlovable. How do you treat them? How do you serve them? Think about how you love them. Think about all those things, and the pride will be taken out of your sails pretty quickly. What you think and feel about your enemies tells the truth about just how charitable are you, just how really loving are you, just how merciful are you. Don't you see? It's good to have enemies. Why? Because it's a painful reminder of ourselves that sin lives deep within me. And you're never more alone than when you're alone with your sin. But you never have a bigger champion, you never have a bigger cheering section than when you repent, when you change. The Bible says when we change, the angels in heaven rejoice over one sinner who repents. And so we get on our knees, we ask God humbly to teach me this lesson so that I can do what's difficult. Serve my enemies and love them, the difficult people in my life. Why? Because too often we fail to love others the way Christ has loved us. We fail. You fail. And yet God loves you. God is merciful to you. There's no revenge. There's no retaliation. There's no retribution. Ever. It's not God's way. God loves. And Paul writes, God demonstrates his own love toward us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. While we're still enemies, he died for us. Do you get it? We've been loved. It's pretty clear. We have mercy. We've received mercy. It's pretty clear. He loves us, and that's why we love. And that's why we don't take revenge. We don't take retaliation. We don't do retribution. We don't get even. We don't pay back wrong for wrong. Even to our enemies. We love others as Christ has loved us. And yes, Jesus knows everything there is to know about the enemy. He battled the enemy. He fought the enemy. And the enemies in Jerusalem took his hands and feet and nailed him to the cross. He prayed for his enemies. He said, Father, forgive them. Jesus knows his enemies. He conquered them. He conquered sin, death, and the devil. And he conquered it all so that he could conquer you. Because you were once his enemy. And he made you his family. By having mercy on you through the power of his blood. Jesus shows us what it looks like to love our enemies. Look at the cross. And there you see his love. Look at the altar. And there you see how he feeds you when you're hungry. Look at the baptismal font. And there we see how he clothes us and covers our sin with his righteousness. We who are naked are clothed by Christ. If you want to know what God is really like, look at Jesus. Examine the life he lived as he walked on this earth, how he took care and loved people. He's merciful. That love, that compassion, that kindness, that grace is the real nature of God, who shows who he truly is. It shows us who God is. And God is love. He doesn't let his enemies win. He doesn't let his enemies defeat him. He conquers his enemies. He doesn't allow himself to be overcome by evil either. He overcomes evil. And what does Paul say about us? He says the same thing. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection and outdo one another in showing honor. Amen. Now may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.